Hi, this is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. And we've been talking about the maglev train. What happens when you take this magnetically levitated vehicle and you lift it off the tracks? First of all, we're lifting it off the tracks at a pretty high rate. It's approximately 4 to 6 inches. That is a lot of room. By comparison, the one I rode on in Beijing, in Shanghai rather, was only half an inch off the track, or maybe even less. But a half an inch is not going to be adequate for anything what we do on Long Island, particularly if it's at ground level and it's not an elevated track. A pebble or two could be disruptive. If you have 4 inches or more, you could have an ice storm and you wouldn't have any, you know, reduced use of the train. In fact, ice is not a problem at all, because not only are we not worried about it building up to be 4.5 inches or whatever, because we don't get that kind of ice storms here. We get maybe a half an inch, or maybe at worst would be a 1 inch level of ice. But the ice itself is magnetically transparent. That means that the ice, the magnetic fields that elevate the train will be unencumbered by the ice. And snow would be blown away, and particularly if it was an elevated situation. But even on the ground, it would be blown away, and it would be fairly easy to do. Obviously, if you waited to move the train while a blizzard, during a blizzard, it would be better to move it during the blizzard than waiting for the blizzard to stop. You probably have to run it constantly to keep the snow blown away. Of course, in an aerial situation, it wouldn't be much of a problem at all, because it would tend to just roll off the track with the wind that's prevailing. And, of course, the first time that, if it did blow, accumulate 6 or 8 inches on the guideway, it wouldn't matter, because that would just be blown off too. Now, if going, let's say, from, Ronkonkoma to Riverhead, because it is less expensive than actually electrifying the current system, we would be able to move cars very quickly. One of the things about a Long Island Railroad type technology that we're using, it takes a long time for it to get up to top speed. We in our automobiles go from 0 to 60 in about, well, this is not what happened without having a fancy car, 10 or 11 seconds. We can do the same amount of acceleration in a maglev. Now, that is not a breakneck speed. That's of acceleration. That's a very reasonable thing that we do every day when we get in our cars. When you get on the expressway and you juice it up to get into highway speed, you're doing that. You're going from 0 to 60 in 10, 11, or 12 seconds. And that's doing that with a very ordinary automobile. If you were driving a Tesla, you'd do it in 3.5 seconds, or a Porsche, you might do it in 3 seconds. And that would be too fast for a train to run, but we wouldn't want it to do that. We'd want it to do it at a comfortable level. Now, why that is important is because once you get up to get, you know, you accelerate to operating speed, you can have a higher average speed. For example, if you had a regular electric Long Island Railroad train with a top speed of 80 miles an hour, and you had set your magnetically levitated train to operate at 80 miles an hour top speed, it would go to top speed much quicker. And because it stops much quicker, more like a car, I think it's 188 feet. A car going 60 miles an hour can stop in 188 feet. Well, that would be certainly impossible for an ordinary train, but it's very, very possible with a magnetically levitated train. So if you can get up to speed quickly, you can have a high and remain at the maximum speed or your operating speed, whatever you choose to call it, and then reduce your speed rather quickly to get when you get into a station, your average speed going into the city would double. In other words, what would take you an hour from Ronkonkoma, making all the same stops, would probably take you more like 38 minutes. And we did the calculations on this, so we're pretty sure what we're talking about then. But it would be a lot less. And that would be, and the beauty of that is that you can get more trains into the city quicker. Now, let's talk about the original example that I was talking about before when we were talking about going from Ronkonkoma to Riverhead. You could do that in such quick time that you wouldn't have to run a you may not even have to run two rails. You could run it on the same rail, because if you can do that, let's say we run now, I think, three or four trains a day doing that, we could do two cars an hour. Now, what happens is, when you use a magnetically levitated train, you don't have to have a long train. You could use it, each car has its own motivation, its own propulsion system. So if you only have 15 or 20 passengers on the car, or even 100 passengers on the car, you can run that train. And when you get to Riverhead from Ronkonkoma, you could run it right back. And you can run it back on the same track, so that you would not have to have a double track, for one thing. And you can run more trains, more trips per day. You could do this every hour. You could do one train and, going and one train coming every single hour of the day. What that would do is probably increase the number of people that you would that would use that kind of service. Right now, the service is so infrequent that it's not attractive. One of the things that I always remembered about living in the city is that I never knew what a subway train schedule was. It didn't matter, because I know that if I went into the tunnel, I would get a subway within 10 minutes, 5 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, but I wouldn't have to worry about it not coming for an hour. That would not be the case. So by having more frequent trains that people could come to the station without worrying about what the schedule is, knowing that they certainly will be able to get where they're going because the train will be coming very shortly. And that's the key to mass transportation, by the way, to get enough people to be on it. Now, what would happen is if you had a lot of people coming in and wanting to use the service and you're filling up the car, you merely put two cars out instead of one. And if that increased the traffic even more, you put three cars out and hook them all together. Because while each of them run independently of the other, they can be hooked up into a train. And you would subsequently increase the amount of cars necessary as the attractiveness of this kind of travel and this particular route improved. What that means is you don't have to put a lot of eggs in this basket to begin with. You don't have to invest in a whole lot of cars. You can invest in a few and wait till the technology itself attracts enough people to be able to invest in more and more product. That is rolling stock, or in this case, floating stock, because it doesn't roll. There are no mechanical floating contact with the maglev rail. It just floats above it. So the prospects for this are enormous, and the proving this here on Long Island and getting all these companies to build it, and we are assembling different companies right now who are interested in participating in the building of this. It could mean an industry that exports this this technology all over the country. Needless to say, as it gets more successful and other countries want to update their rail systems, they can use our technology to the benefit of our economics as we put our people to work and our companies earn money, then we are, as a, an American company as and a leader, and again, in this field, we can really reap the benefits of it. But as much as it is a business proposition and a safety proposition and an efficiency proposition, it is also a way of igniting interest in this country's manufacturing ability. And that's better for all of us, because in the end, we want to maintain that position of the go-to company, country that we've always been. So we're looking forward to making some inroads on this, and I'm working with some of the political people on it. This is Ernie Fazio, and I hope you enjoyed this program today, and I hope it would, I made it interesting. This is Earnestly Speaking, 103.9 FM.